Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Currently with iFlowRadio.com. Those of you that are just joining us, welcome to the On the Edge Show with Judy Barnett. What is fucking people? Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Judy Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Welcome to Monday, everybody. If this wasn't already said, sorry about that. The mic is back and forth. Welcome to another week, a new week. So let's see how we're going to pull through this week. Thank God that we made it here. Thank God that I've got a chance to be with all of you out there that's listening to me. And I want to say thank you to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., and when he's not doing it then, he's doing it on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m., and he is gracing New York City with R&B events all over the greatest of venues as the CEO of Track One Entertainment, which, by the way, Track One Entertainment will be reinstating their competition So You Think You Can Sing. So those of you that are out there who desires to be a singer and wants to get into the industry, if you are interested in competing in this competition, email Barry at track1entertain@gmail.com with your name and your phone number, and he will get back to you about the process that it takes to audition. To the Real World Black News and Discussions group on Facebook, thank you very much for being active and avid supporters of our pre-broadcast topic questions and our panel. To the Black Love and Conversations group, to Ms. Linda Miller that's out there, thank you very much for being a new group of people that have come in and been active and avid supporters. I want to thank you very much. Let me thank all my team, of course, Lady Diamond Lelanievis, Monster Miles, DJ Dome Record Rodney Williams, and Deacon Zeddy Williams of Toledo, Ohio, for having been an active and intricate part of making the show where it is today. I want to say a thank you to Professor Carl Tone Jones in Pennsylvania and Devon Lewis in Toledo, Ohio, for having syndicated us along with what they're doing out in their areas and helping the show be spread around even further. So I want to thank both of you for all that you have done on and off the scenes. Thank you very much. Now, tonight, everybody, we are going to be speaking about maintaining your individuality while trying to be a relationship team player. So for those of you that are in a relationship and have noticed that, you know, from your single days, you've given up a lot of stuff, you know, because you want to make your relationship work. This is including marriages, okay? You know that sometimes, for the good of the many, we give up the private pleasures or the things we used to do. Sometimes we even sacrifice our dreams because at the moment certain things can't happen or it's not going on the same time frame that it once was before the children got involved, before you had a partner. Now, the question is, as much as to a point you have to sacrifice a relationship, how do you not make the mistake of believing that you have to give yourself up completely? And should you give yourself up completely simply for the sake of a relationship? Is that what being a team player really means? So you know how we do this? We're going to go to our commercial break, and when we get back, we will start our discussions. Okay, so here is Cher Lloyd and T.I. with I Wish, and I'll be back in 3.5 minutes. Don't go away. Keep it locked right here.
Aight. Make a wish, girl. You deserve it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Baby, I can let you go with. Wish that I never did. Freaking perfect and 5'10". Just wanna punch your lip. Yeah, cause I know I've been wasting time trying to catch your eye. Yeah, I know that I've been so blind thinking that I'm your type. And now I'm at home, I'm all alone, about to pick up the telephone. Got to call my genie so he knows. Yeah, I wish I was tall and I wish I was fast. Wish I could jump with a bag full of cash. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that.
But I can get you paradise, heaven, I ever get like. I'm talking solitaire, ice, got a ring, white necklace. And I'm talking reckless, girl, I'm certified respect, girl. You like to run your mouth, well, you about to learn a lesson, girl. You the one, but I don't place you in a second, girl. And I ain't even trying to see you naked, girl, wait. There I go, exaggerate, clearly carried away. But what I'm saying, you can true that. I wanna be wherever you at, so you wishing you could kiss me. Do you really wanna do that? Make a wish, girl.
Yeah.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. All right, that was Cher Lloyd with featuring the rapper T.I. with I Wish. Now, for those of you that are just joining us, our topic tonight is maintaining your individuality while trying to be a team player for the relationship team. Now, here's the deal. Everybody gets it. You know, we are wild when we're younger. We go through, you know, different girlfriends, different boyfriends, different partners, sometimes well into our 30s, and then we get up and we want to settle down. So a lot of things we know definitely has to be given up or changed at least. And we've got to sacrifice some things. And I think that especially after we start to have children and we get married and, you know, there are certain things that our partner likes or doesn't like, and there are certain things that we like and or don't like of our partner. So you have to come to a middle ground. Now, the question or the problem starts to become with how much of a middle ground is fair? Do you give yourself up like your own identity just to be a partner in a relationship or a spouse? And that's where the problem is. I mean, even thinking from a parent standpoint, sometimes as a parent, we tend to think that, you know, when we say your children come first, we tend to take that to a whole nother level and believe that that means life for us comes to a complete halt. I even had to learn that. And it's not, because in order for you to be a good team player, you first have to be strong and established and secure with yourself as an individual. So what are some of the things that can happen that can cause you to lose yourself and then later on become resentful of being in the relationship or having somebody that you, in the back of your head, might be blaming for things that you chose to do? To be in the relationship or to feel like that person isn't giving back what you feel you've given up for them, you know, things to that effect. Let's start talking this. Couples, they need to have a time where it's girls' night out for the wife or the female, and it's guys' night out for the guy in the situation. Okay, you know, we can't sit there and say that because we got married or because we got involved that the things that we once did that are perfectly okay and healthy to do and perfectly therapeutic in a sense, you know, everybody has to have something that they do that's not about family or is not about, you know, being somebody's partner or is not about the relationship. There has to be something that's about you. You know, of course, there's some point in time where, you know, you have to make sure that whatever it is you're committed to is cared for first. Don't get me wrong. You're not going to sit there and say, I'm just going to drop everything I do and go take a week-long trip to Venezuela, you know, that costs about $18,000, and to hell with the fact that my kids need to go, you know, to get their braces fixed. Or they need medical bills paid. But no, we're not talking that. We're saying that after you've done all that you can do and you've made sure everything that you're going to need when the vacation is over to come back to is covered, how do you take time out for yourself? Couples need to remember, especially if they're parents, that you need time with yourselves as well. You hear that all the time, that relationship therapists say that, you know, couples need a date night. Couples need time away from the children. Believe me, I can tell you that that's definitely a truth. Parents need time away from their children. They need to have one place in the house that belongs to them. Their room, their bedroom. They need to have, if you have a big enough house that has enough extra rooms and you've made an office or a den or some place that you go to think, that needs to be your space. Because if you can release everything that you're going through in that area and it's just about you and it's uninterrupted, you can breathe through whatever stresses that you're going through, and then you can come back refreshed and renewed, maybe even with a clearer head on how to handle a situation. Even maybe if it's something between you and your partner, now you know how to talk about it. So you need to go in to this little me time mode, do something for you, so that you can remember that you are still a person and you're not just a role that you play in a relationship, or you're not just a mother or father, or you're not just somebody's wife or husband. Because if you don't get to try the little things that is about you, men love sports. Now women are just as much into sports, but it used to be that sports was a manly thing. Okay, so guys would disappear and the women would never be able to find them because they're watching football, basketball, hockey, golf, whatever it is that floats their boat. And matter of fact, if you didn't look like a remote with a bunch of buttons to click and press or a big screen with pixels, you weren't really anything they saw. If you weren't a beer can or a bunch of chips, there was nothing that mattered to them until game time was over. And usually when women were sitting up there counting the time down until the game finally ended and kickoff and the last touchdown was made and the last, you know, three-pointer that ended the game was made, they have to endure the post-sports talk. which could take another hour or two when two opposing friends on different teams are like, oh, your team was a mess, and oh, no, man, they're just going to do this. They should have did this better. But all right, they're going to be all right next week. You still got to deal with the after. We call it the after party. So, but that is something men do for themselves. Now their wives or their girlfriends, women are just as heavily involved with sports now. So while at some point you can make that a couple thing, sometimes you just want that to be you and your own thing. There are people that have hobbies that maybe they don't share with their partner. You know, maybe it's not always about that, you know, I like to read, she likes to type. Okay, she likes to sew things and make things. Well, I like to read the newspaper, if newspapers even exist anymore. But either way, you guys can be separate and still together. Matter of fact, going away and having some time away from each other gives you more intriguing things to talk about and share when you get back. Trying to go out there and, you know, live that dream again. Maybe you can't do it as quickly as you did when you were, you know, 22 and fresh out of college or didn't have children. Maybe now you have to make sure that you save maybe $100 out of the $300 that goes to bills instead of being able to put $250 of the $300 in there. Well, maybe you have to, but do you give yourself up for the sake of a relationship? That's not a relationship. So any of you callers that are in there, you know what you have to do. You have to press 1 if you want to talk, because I don't know. If all I'm seeing is you sitting there, it means you just want to listen. So getting to a couple of articles that I had consulted with today, there was quite a few common ground yet opposing or different perspective opinions that came up. Now, one couple was speaking about her own experience where when people speak, they speak as if they're speaking for a collective. They don't speak about, you know, me and him or him and I or she and I. They speak, we don't like or we wish we could or we prefer. No, there has to be a point where there's two different people doing their own unique thing to make the big picture happen. There's a reason why parenting experts say that men have a different approach or a different effect on children, whereas a woman has a different effect on children. But either way, both sides are effective in their ways. Women tend to be a lot more softer, accepting, loving, and let's say forgiving or less hard on our children. We tend to be more nurturing, while men tend to find that their children need to get a couple of hard knocks and scrapes to learn how to get up and do it again. Okay, well, there's two different approaches to things. Sometimes men are a little more no-nonsense about certain things, where women tend to look into more of why did you do this and what were you feeling at the time. So there are different ways that people do things, but each unique thing comes together and makes the team work. How do you do this without giving up yourself? So any of you that are out there that have an opinion, kindly call in. Press 1. Let me know what you're thinking. All right? With that being said, I'm going to go to a sponsor break. Be right back right after this. Okay? Don't go away.
Walking away,
oh, maybe it's time we
set something up and get forget that you're let down. Can't nobody hurt you now. I had them all chick after chick, and I let them go when they said commit. You couldn't tell me, just what I was missing. No.
Too many hurts, too many feelings.
Shouldn't be easy just to say I'm
changing, I'm walking away.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. I want to thank every single one of you that have been sticking through this because we are dealing with bad weather, and every time we do, we have issues with connection. So you have all been absolutely wonderful, awesome, almost sort of like you're expecting it lately, and you stick through with this, so I appreciate that. With everything that I have. All right, so tonight's topic, everyone, is maintaining your individuality while trying to be a relationship team player, which is very important. It is, we do tend to forget or misconstrue what it means to be a team player. Think about it. Even with work, we tend to give up so much of ourselves to work, to be in a team project at work. Even we tend to forget that we have to also take a moment to rest our mind, to think, come back with a clear conscience or a clear thought, that we have to take a break, because you know what, something could be stressful, and if you keep on trying to give yourself some mental deadline that your mind needs a break from, it's going to make things worse. You're going to wind up kicking something or being upset with something or dropping it all together, and then where are you? Now, I'm not speaking, like I said, everybody on the show who has been with me on a regular basis, this is not an expert show. This is people who are talking from real experience, who knows that what they have tried or what and worked and what haven't. These are people that are calling and giving their viewpoints about what they think and what they feel about a situation. These are people that have lived real experiences. And frankly, more often than not, that's the type of stuff that works, not what people sit in a class and get certifications for. Because the average person is not even comfortable going to a stranger to speak about their most intimate problems because they feel that the person on the other end of the textbook is not in my life. So how do we know that things could go wrong? How often have you seen people just break up after years of being together simply because they stopped understanding what it means to do something for themselves and not feel like they're taken away from people that they've been with forever? How many times, parents, I can speak from that. I remember speaking from my last previous segments when I shared with you how I used to think as a young mother that any time I wanted to ask my mom or sister or someone to babysit my baby so I could go to a movie, I thought that I was being a bad mother, so I never went anywhere. I was with my babies all the time, and some of the days when they were crying and I didn't know why, and I was frustrated or upset, and there was no one here with me, I wish that there was. And then I started realizing that if all I am is frustrated with things that can't go wrong and that means your children are constantly asking and demanding because that's what children are supposed to do, and that they don't understand the concept of, well, today I don't have the money to get that and it's not really a necessity, but in their mind it's the must thing to have. And then you start feeling like, okay, well, my baby's pretty eyes and she wanted me to do this. And, you know, I'm going to go out there and work twice as hard to get something they don't really need. And if I don't, I'm a bad mother. And then when they grow older and they get their first boyfriend or their first girlfriend and they forget all about your parents because now you're an intrusion, you start realizing to yourself, oh, my God, why didn't I take the moment to say no then and do me? To that wife or husband or just your significant other, when you have spent time saying, you know what, he's upset because I'm going out and he looks sad, you know what, let me not go out with my girlfriends today so I could stay home with him. Knowing that you do this all the time, meanwhile your girls come back talking about they went shopping, they did this, you could have came, girl, this happened, oh my God, we ran into this store, all of these things that it was only going to take a couple of hours and you give your partner all your time, all the time. You gave up your dreams because in the back of your head, if you go to school or you go and you get a degree or you go to something, you're leaving your partner behind who loves you dearly. These are the misconceptions that we have, and then eventually when you start realizing that your partner is perfectly okay with leaving you to go do sports night with the guys, or for you fellas, perfectly okay with leaving you stranded for giving up your time to go, you know, go out with the girls for a day, and then you wonder, why did you do it? All of these things come together because, you know what, we're so busy thinking that if we take a moment for ourselves, we're doing something wrong to the people around us. No, you need a moment to yourself because sometimes you're having a bad day and at that particular moment, it's not your partner that you want to go home and speak to at the time because you might be so frustrated with what took place. You don't know how to say it in a way that's not going to come across offensive to them. So you might need to go see your homeboy for a minute or your girlfriend for a second to clear your head and just calm down and then come home and speak to your partner. Or you might be in such a bad mood that you can't speak. I'll see you there, Carla. I'm going to bring you in just a minute. Okay? Or you might be so upset or angry with something that happened that if you deal with your children right at that moment, it's going to be a bad thing. So you have to be a good individual and established and secure and okay and clear-minded before you could be a good team player. I'm going to bring in our panelists now so that they can have their say on what's going on. Just 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Hi, Cole, are you there? Lord. Lord, just give me a second. Our mics are acting up. Just hang on with me, Cole. You'll be right in just a sec. Hi, priest. Hello, Cole. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Who am I speaking with?
I'm good. This is Shamika.
Hi, Shamika. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is one of our group members from that group I'm shouting out every day, the Real World Black News and Discussions group, and you're also with Black Love and Conversations group as well, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the last.
I got you. All right, Shamika, tell me what you think about tonight's topic. What's your take on it?
Well, I think it's an important topic, and I mentioned earlier that I think that it's a very relevant issue in relationships, and I'm not speaking in general. I'm speaking in terms of personal experience. I mean, I think that respect is the key. So when I say respect, I mean in terms of the couple respecting each other. I noticed that you mentioned or you referenced kids a lot, and that is also important. But having respect for each other helps you to be able to respect the dreams and visions of your partner. So that's my take on relationships and how this situation can work, because I think that it's very okay to have different dreams and aspirations. Not everybody that's meant to be together are going to have the same dreams. However, having that respect, it's the
right.
key in it working. So I wanted to share that.
You know, Shamika, you said something that kind of is the bottom line, in my opinion, for making it work. I keep on trying to touch on the fact of this. We do tend to think that once we get involved with our partner, especially if it's a marriage, that we are supposed to be one. And when people say that, it's not about you being one person, like literally with one mind and you all think the same. And, you know, when you press, it's like the multi-room DVR, you know, you can't really watch one show when really the front one, you have to watch whatever the main person in the front is watching. It's about the fact that a team is just a group of people with individual, unique talents, unique characteristics that all gel together and make the big picture come together, but it's all individual parts that just work together. That is the problem we do, especially parents. We tend to give up things for our kids and our other half so much because we start thinking that, you know, family comes first, and it's true, but not to the point of you don't take a minute to go, I can't deal with this right now, I need a second.
Absolutely.
You know,
we forget
mm-hmm.
ourselves. You know?
We sure do. We sure do. We do forget ourselves. And even when you get married and the things that you say in your vows, usually the standard is forsaking all others. That doesn't mean you forsake your friends or going out with your friends. That means that anything that comes in between you and your spouse, you know, having the best of togetherness or the best tools possible in your dreams, that has to be forsaken, because in the end it's about your life. But it doesn't mean forsaking all others, meaning you no longer can go to the mall with your sisters anymore. Nope, I'm married now. No more sister visits, no more people. No, it means that you have love and respect, a new person in your life to share the rest of your golden years with. It means you have children that you two together as a strong couple are going to raise to be different individuals or unique individuals to the teachings they're coming up with. It means that at the end of the day, each of you, including your children, understand mommy or daddy I really need a moment, or I've got this dream to own a business, and at the end of it, you guys will benefit from it too. If it should go okay, and I really would appreciate your support. You know, to me, there's nothing like having the person in your life that will continue to date you well after the ring and the marriage license, that will continue to be your biggest cheerleader in the corner, whether they understand the nature of the field you want to go into or not.
Right.
And also, it means
your best friend. Mm-hmm.
Right. you know, to that point. It also does mean, though, and this is where I want to be clear too, it means that even you, if you have that person that is willing to understand all of that you have to do, if they do support your dreams, it also means that you also have to know when it's time to take a break and say, as much as I have to commit a lot of time and a lot of hours to this, I need to take the moment, a break in this to give to my family and make that a non-negotiable. Now, I know I'm a single mom. I've got to wear many hats. I've got three things that I have to do, my 9-to-5 job, this radio show that I'm working on to be a project of business later down the road. I have a writing freelance commitment that I have to make to people that I freelance for. I have a community job, and at the end of the day, I'm still mom. So I still have to cook, and I still have to do homework, and I still have to understand why my child is crying because there's pimples on her face, or the other one just got pushed in the schoolyard by the second grade bully and don't know why. People are just so mean. I still have to take time to do all of that. But then they understand that I have to do something that takes a lot of time away from what we normally used to do at such length. And then I have to understand that I can't feel guilty about it because at the end of the day, this is what I have to do to provide for my family on a better basis. And believe me when I tell you, that's a hell of an emotional roller coaster going back and forth. But at the end of the day, you do have to be practical and see the big picture. And that's where it counts. But at the same time, the things that I'm doing, this radio show in particular, this is for me. This is something that I have been wanting to do for other people because of the things I've went through, and they have been a part of that. And I know that I make sure that I take care of them. I make sure that we have our movie time. I make sure that I'm at every play and performance I can be at. I make sure they have a home-cooked meal. Those of you that are on Facebook see the meals that I make all the time. I make sure that I have my time with them. Some things in the studio they can be a part of. Some things they can't. But at the end of the day, mommy has cared for you. I've done what I had to do as mommy. Now you have to understand this is the time now where it's mommy's time. It's at your bedtime anyway, so from 8:30 to 10:30, it's all about mommy, and you have to respect that.
That's right. Is there enough time in a day to do everything that we need to do? And I understand completely where you're coming from. I mean, I understand. I worked full-time and went to school at the same time and actually had to juggle coming out of a long-term relationship. So I understand exactly where you're coming from, and you juggle, and you have to be there. You have to be able to answer questions at work. You have to be able to be there for your kids because their time is most precious, and
right.
You have to be there for any circumstances that come up in life. And so I totally understand. I think that it's an element that a lot of people miss. People, you know, sometimes we walk through life and we have this big smile on our face and people are like, your life must be wonderful. You have
right.
no trials. I know I'm one that a lot of people come to for advice and they think that I have it all figured out. But because you're a strong, I'm just relating to you as a strong woman. And
yeah.
When that happens, sometimes when you're all alone, you think, does anybody even think of me? But I have found over the years that it doesn't matter. As long as I'm doing the best I can and being the best me that I can be in whatever situation, no matter what the norm is or what people consider as normal, then I am contributing my life beneficially. And that's what keeps me sane, I think, and that love in your heart grows so much
right.
that it overcomes perceived obstacles. And so, no, I totally understand, and I was at a crossroads. I remember sitting on our back porch at our house, and I was young. I was in my early 20s, and I was thinking, man, do I really want this life? Is this the life for me? What are my dreams? Life came down on me, and I had to open my eyes and visualize myself. I had to kind of stand outside of myself and look at myself. And say,
right.
you know, where do I want to be? And I looked at my kids because I was a young mother. I got involved very young. So I really didn't have a wild, young, you know, adulthood.
Right.
You know, like I. And so when I did that, I believe that that was my awakening as a woman and as a mother. And so I tried to work it out with my ex. Like I said, we were long-term. And I gave him a time period. if you want this, then we have to work together. We have to have the same vision. When I say vision, that means it's okay for you to have your interests, but the key was respect. So
right.
It was up to him to make that decision. And when he couldn't, to a meeting of minds, I had to walk away. And I was open to reconciliation, but I had to do what was best for me. So at that point in time, I was in school to become a nurse, and I was doing my little prereq. But I noticed that over the years I had worked in accounting, so I didn't have it all figured out. What I'm saying is I didn't have it all figured out when I left. I left it to God. You know, God,
absolutely.
Which direction am I going to go? Because I have no idea. And I never envisioned myself as being a single mom. That was taboo to me. That was my worst fear.
Right.
And so when I did leave, I did make efforts to reconcile, and I realized it just wasn't going to work because now the new person I was becoming wasn't going to be compatible with my past situation. So
that I can relate to 100%. I understand that. I realized I was in Angola. I see you there. Thank you for being patient. I'll be bringing you in on the panel in just a second. I had to relate to that. I was in a relationship with my last ex 16 years. We have between us 6 children, and it was like, you know, frankly, he was always he came from a mind of paychecks. You know, I need to see what I'm doing, and at the end of the week I need to count on this, and, you know, you're a dreamer, but you met me writing, you met me, you know, having this thing, and I used to pretty much work around it, like, you know, whatever you have to say, whatever, I'm just going to do it, and when you see it, you'll do whatever. But that became tiresome after a while. That everything, you know, it got to the point where I got sick and tired of you're bad-mouthing it the whole way while I'm in the planning process. And as soon as you see the fruits of the labor once, now you're all with it. Yes, this is my wife, or this is my,
right.
my you know, yes. this type of thing. And, oh, yes, yep, she's a writer. Yes, she's a this, she's a that. But as soon as it goes back down again, it's like, I'm not seeing anything. What are you doing for me? What have you done lately? What have you done this? Forgetting the fact that I had to be a stay-at-home mom for, you know, I had to quit my job, which, by the way, we were in the same industry. So it's not like I was, like, you know, just a stay-at-home mom. I mean, I've worked. I've been a manager. I've been, you know, I've been a trainer. I've been everything. And I've been out there for years doing the same thing he did, just that he was one title above me in the company.
Oh, wow. I really relate to you because it absolutely has nothing to do with what we do for a living or where our interests are. It has a lot to do with heart and how we relate and how we respect what we do, how we do it, and can we merge and work together. That's
right.
And
there was plenty of things that he had tried to do that I knew were stupid to begin with, but it was his dream, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to let you know, just be careful with this venture, I'm with you, whatever, because my mind said, I'm his wife, or, you know, I wasn't legally married, but, you know, my Spanish culture, when you're with somebody for more than 2 years and you live together and you got kids, they call it a marriage, okay, but... My thing was, I'm his wife. I need to be there for him, like I have to be there for my parents, I mean, for my children as a parent, that you could see that they're headed down a bad road or it could be a sticky road, but I have to be there through it to let him try it out, and when he fails or if he fails, I need to be there to help him through it again. I never had a harsh word to say to him. I never let him think of it as a failure because I had a sister that did that for me. So I had to make sure that I was that person. But sometimes I even worked out things for him. I see all of you there. Just give me a second. You guys have been wonderful. I have been there to see, you know, like whenever he was tired from doing the 9-to-5, I would go, okay, you know what? Go eat. I got you. Because I understood the things he was involved with, so I knew how to work some of the technical procedures, such as certain schedules he had to make. I knew how to do the schedule. I got it. Who do you want on this week? Whatever. I'll take care of it. You can review it in the morning. Don't worry about it. Go rest. What happened was he started to take that to the point of, wait, whoa, I got a delegate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go party a little extra after hours with the boys. I'm going to come back drunk, too tired to do it. She'll take care of it for me. So sometimes you start believing that you're supporting the team, giving up yourself. I used to put aside me writing my own manuscripts or taking a job so that I could help him support his dream. What happens with the wrong type of people, sometimes they don't respect what you do. They expect it.
Oh, you said it. That's exactly right.
Shamika, I need to bring in our other panelists. One of them, but for you, has been waiting very patiently. Hang on 1 second. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Yes, I'm still there.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Al Tariq. How y'all doing?
Hi, Al Tariq. How are you? Just give me a minute. There's two other panelists. You will be first in the queue, okay? Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Good evening and blessings to all. How is everybody doing on the panel this evening?
Yes. Hello, Deacon. That's Deacon Zeddy Williams' panel. Our co-host, hold on 1 second. Let me get to our next one, and then we will get the discussion started with you, Al Tariq. Hold on.
All right.
Hi. Welcome to the show. You on the air?
Hello, caller. How's it going?
Hello, Rod. How are you? Welcome.
All
right. Hell, the gang's all here. The gang's all here. Okay. Al Tariq.
Yes.
What, Al Tariq, what's your views on tonight's topic?
Well, from listening to what y'all was saying, you know, I would say this, that when you're with somebody and you're trying to get things together with yourself and they're trying to do things and, you know, when you're together, that's what it's about. That's the word, is together. So it's going to be supporting because that's what supporting is about when you're together. I never heard of the word one gather. With two people that kind of be together. So within the things, goals and stuff like that you're striving for, it has to be balanced. Rather if it's kids there or if it's just you and that person, it has to be balanced. Because if you don't have balance as the foundation, it's going to be imbalanced. And then that's when things get shaky. And another part, this is what I want to do. Because if you're supporting them, then you giving them the confidence and stuff to further go ahead, do what you need to do. But it has to be balanced, as you were stating that, well, if I start doing these things, this person's going to expect for me to keep doing them. And that's not how it should work. It's when you have something for you to do, I'm going to be there for you if we're working as a unit, as one. And when it's things time for me to do, I need to be there in the way that I'm supposed to be there. And that's the way it's supposed to be, period. You know, but if it's not the way, sometimes we have our own personal issues. Sometimes ego becomes involved. But if you understand balance and the nature of balance, then you know that sometimes you have to stay in your own lane. You can't be trying to dominate somebody else's life because it's the both of y'all lives together.
Absolutely. You have to know.
It won't be understood. If you don't have that understanding, it won't be understood, and understanding is the best thing you can have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Understanding, sometimes you have to give up a little bit of your comfort zone to support your mate in that respect. But, you know, the one thing I also think becomes a problem in that, too, is a lot of times if you are dealing with, and I'm going to go to Deacon in a minute, a lot of times, if you, like, I just put up an example, and I think that, Shamika, you seem to be hopping up with the cheerleading pom-poms because you're kind of on the same wavelength. But when you are in a position, like, say, myself, I'm in the arts. I'm in the creative arts side of things. I'm not out there trying to get an accounting job or a numbers crunching job or whatever. I always thought in the entrepreneurial sense. I want to be able to own a business, not be the top paid executive for someone else. That's just that's been my drive all the time. Now, when you have a person that's on the logical side of things, you know, or the practical side of things, if that person loves you enough or is willing enough, they're going to be uncomfortable quite a bit. But depending on how much more valuable is your relationship over your personal comfort zone, that person could go, I'm not sure if I agree with it, but all right, baby, if that's what you want to do, I'm here, but I'm just going to let you know I'm a little whatever. But stick with you, it could work. But if you have a person that's like, I don't see where this is going. Or sometimes I had one, my ex, he's not the type of person that could do door-to-door sales, and I'm pretty good at it. If I'm selling a product that I believe in and I've seen it work and I know what it does, I have the inner passion and excitement to sell it to another person because I feel like I'm giving them a piece of greatness. You understand? And especially if I know it's affordable and that there's a way that the most strapped for cash person can afford it, I can do it. all right? He's the type of person that if there's a possibility of a no, it's stupid. You shouldn't do it. Nope. Mm-hmm. That's dumb. That's dumb. That's just a dream. That's just a dream. He told me that my book, when I used to write, that it would never see, it's a cute little hobby, but it will never see a day in sales, a day in print, or a cent in sales. Well, I just picked up my third royalty check today. It wasn't much. It wasn't much at all. But I've got that same book you laughed about out in the market somewhere, and it's selling slowly, but that's because of the time I didn't put my 100% marketing skills in there, and when I get to the point that I can, you know, it's an option. As long as it's out there, somewhere down the line, somehow, it'll get to the right person. And then I'll be able to put my full step forward. But the whole big thing is I got my foot in the door. It's in print, and now it's an e-book. So either way you look at it, I kept with it. I did it. You didn't understand it, but I knew what I could do with it. Deacon, your thoughts on tonight's topic.
Well, first of all, I would like to say, Tariq, I agree with everything that you had to say. And I have to say this, that I believe we might have went to the same school or something because we have to be cut from the same cloth. Because for the simple fact that if you're in a relationship and you and your significant other have sat down and you have discussed the direction that your relationship is going and whose career is going where, you know, you have two different directions, but you have to support one another. Like you said, if you don't have that solid foundation, you don't have a relationship in the first place. Now, you can't just say, well, okay, we're going to do this, and then you get out there in the middle of the ocean and you want to try and change direction. It don't work like that.
That's right.
So first of all, if they're going to try and change direction, they weren't really supportive of you in the first place. You know, so like I said, I agree with everything you said. I couldn't have said it better myself. I don't know what it is with today's society and today's relationships, but it seems like that's what's missing. They don't have a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, Deacon, the answer to tonight's topic, how do you maintain your individuality while trying to be a team player in your relationship? You know,
maintain? Well, yes. Don't think it's going to be easy because it's going to take some work. And it's not just has to be a one-sided thing. It's got to be an even keel. It's got to be a 50-50. It can't work at 60-40. It's not going to work. You know, you got to have both sides pulling their own weight. That's the only way it's going to work.
How about 100 and 100? Like 200.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So
that's right. That's the only way it's going to work.
Let me get our other panelist to give his opinion, then I'm going to pose a question to the panel one at a time. Go ahead, Rod. It's on you. I need you to talk a little closer to your mouthpiece, sweetheart.
Okay. How's that?
Yep,
that's better.
Okay. Well, I believe the same. When you live together, you have to work together and pull together. Otherwise, things are going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And you'll have a common goal because there was a time when I felt she wasn't working and I was working and she was looking and I felt that, say, I'm doing all the work. It's not fair. But she was still doing the home. You know, she was still cooking, cleaning, and everything else. And so before I spazzed at her, I had to sit back and say, damn, all the other important stuff is getting done. But because I'm the only one leaving the house every day, I was saying, I almost caused a fight where I didn't need to.
Right. Here indeed.
I don't want to get a Jamaican woman angry. That's bad.
No, you don't. There's a saying that goes, a happy wife is a happy life. There's a saying that says, a happy wife is a happy life. I know that a guy posted that, and I thought it was cute.
Oh, that rings true.
There's a little story or joke or whatever that was posted, and I have posted it like a couple of months back. That for the husbands that were out there not understanding that, you know, their stay-at-home wife did not have the happy-go-lucky, glamorous life that they thought. So He goes to God and he tells God, well, you know what? My wife has it easy. I have to get up every day, 5 o'clock in the morning. My back hurts. I've got it all the steel. You know, she gets to stay home. She gets to watch soap operas. I wish I could be my wife for a day, and let me see how it's like to have a rest. So God said, all right, well, I love you, my child, and I want to give you everything you ask for. So tomorrow when you wake up, you will be your wife, and she will be you. All right. Well, the first thing that happened was 3:30 in the morning, the alarm went off. He had to get up. He had to go prepare the breakfast for everybody. Well, him, his wife, the two kids, well, you know, husband, the two kids. He had to go lay out everybody's school clothes, got to lay out his husband or whatever, clothes and briefcase, and make sure that he had his lunch and everything. Okay, got to get the kids up, brush their teeth, fight with them because they don't want to wake up right away. He had to go through all of that. All right, everybody's go off to school. They had to go down there. Now he had to carpool, get everybody over there, pick up the other kids. All right, after dropping them off from school, she had to go to the laundry. Got to go pick up the dry cleaning, got to go to the groceries, came back home, had to cook dinner. Oh, my God, got to get back, soccer practice today, got to go pick up the kids from school, PTA meeting at 6, got to get back home, got to clean the kids, get them in the bath, get dinner on the table. I still got to screw my wife now, so that's the way that goes. Now, all right, next morning, he told God, that's it. I cannot believe she does all this. I'm sorry that I asked. I'm sorry I didn't appreciate her. Please, Lord, put me back in my own body. And God said to him, my child, I love you. I love you. I hate to see you hurting, and I'll be glad to switch you. But you got pregnant last night. You got to wait 9 months.
That ain't right.
That is dirty. That is dirty. Oh, my goodness.
That's just for people to understand. Now, getting back to how we keep our individuality, this is what I would suggest, and I want to see what the panel agrees. Number one, Shamika, you and I, I think that we're pretty much mind-melding because we're kind of in different worlds. We live in the same world or living the same world. Lived the same world. Now, there is a point in time where you have to make a stance in your relationship to say, I'm going to do this for me. If you could look back on your entire situation, and I'm speaking from a single mom that has been through watching my children have to be the victims of being in a homeless shelter after owning a home, not myself, but it was in their dad's name, and their dad decided that, you know, the mortgage was cutting into his, you know, double life. So, you know, the women and the drinking and the clubbing, you know, at 40 became, you know, more important, you know, living, fulfilling the midlife crisis problems became more important than investing in what will invest back to him. Meaning, after we pay off this mortgage, our children will have a fully paid for house should we die, you know, or there's life insurance to deal with, and there's things that come from being a homeowner. Well, when that didn't happen, he put us into a basement, and then when the basement apartment, which, by the way, was directly across the street from the house we owned, and our children had to pass by that house every day, going to school and having neighbors pointed, they used to own that house. Yeah, they got kicked out. Mm-hmm. They moved. The bank took that one. Oh, yes. Okay, well, they dealt with that. So as a mom, I'm hurt, figuring I should have left this man maybe or something. It doesn't matter whichever way this is what I was going through. Well, Mother's Day of 2007, I had two twin newborn babies, 3 months old at the time, and we got a strange visit at our door, a knock like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and we were told that there was an anonymous call place, that there was a large family living in an illegal basement, and they needed to inspect, and there was nothing we could do about it, and that we got forcibly removed by the city of New York for what they called unlivable conditions. Now, we were fine. Okay, there was no carbon monoxide. We had a great landlord. He was the only one pretty much that took a large family without question. You know, no problem. He did everything for us. It was great. Well, we got moved. We had to go into what they said was better for us, into shelters that had mice and rats and roaches literally running over my baby's faces. We were locked into a curfew if we left and didn't sign some book every day, which was 5 flights down and 5 flights up. We had to come down every day. Me with my 2 babies coming down the steps with no carriage. If I didn't sign this, we got kicked out. That's what it was. Plus, we had to pay rent. Mind you, we're homeless. So I watched what my kids went through. So there was the guilt of that and everything I was going through. And then, so I said, you know what? I have got to give my kids something to look past this horrible situation that we're in. So that's where my book got published. And that's where Mommy, at 40 years old, went to college for the first time, raising the seven at the time, going to the courts against the dad, going to the welfare or whatever it is that we needed to do to be able to stay in this place. I got my associate's degree in computer networking. And I started realizing that everything, it was always me that was holding things together. Without having the big money, without having the bosses that knew my name, without having all this, it was me behind the scenes that was the person holding everything together, including it. But I started realizing that when I was away from him, all the struggles that I was going through, they were my struggles, and I had the control of letting them either work for me or control me. But it was through that that I started realizing I could finally write. I got a degree for the first time in my life. It's not about me being a mom. This was something I did for me, even though my children would benefit later.
Right.
And I started to be able to do it. See that?
Yeah. Sometimes you get lost in the fact that you're doing for others. You're a giving person and that you're a mom first.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you get lost in that fact, but what makes us greater moms is the fact that we love ourselves and we want to do this for ourselves. And then our children benefit from that. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But
No, you're absolutely right. We do tend to forget that we first must take care of the individual so that we could be a good team player, so that we could be a better mate, a better partner, so we could have a clearer understanding of what it takes to feel good and do our jobs as moms. That was the whole thing. And I think that it didn't dawn on me that I have been somebody's mother since I was 18 years old. That as much as I've been able to, as they say, supermom, I've been able to juggle certain things, I really crave just doing something that was about me, even if my children benefited from the fruits of it later. I wanted to do something that was about me. And that's so much. That's why if any of you that are on my Facebook page see my album, Katie College Grad 2009, it was the biggest, most amazing accomplishment for me. I made it through graduation. I got a degree in my hand. I made that day all about me, the hair, the nails, the getting my face and facial and my feet. I went shopping. I picked a dress. Everything was for me. Everything that as a mom, I would say, oh, I can't afford that this week for me. I got to let the kids get something first. That day, it wasn't about that. That day, I said, it's all about me. Everything that's coming through is about me celebrating mom's milestone, Katie's milestone, not mommy, not the ex-wife, not nothing, Katie's milestone, because I knew that my children were covered everywhere else, and it was something I did that was not attached to being a mother or being somebody's living wife or being somebody's girlfriend. It was about me, and I did it.
Right.
God was with me, and I did it, and it was the biggest thing ever. To this day, when I'm feeling like things are going down, I look up at that award, that degree on my wall, and I said, we were going through worse than this, and God helped me accomplish this. And this was about me and my merits. This is what I can do for me.
It takes sacrifice.
I have to say that to God be the glory, and
mm-hmm.
you should be commended because you're a perfect example of a strong woman, you know, and to for someone to have a woman that gave them the honor to bear their children, and for him to sit back and watch him and the woman that bared his children go through what you went through with his kids. Is no more than a spineless worm. That is not a man. There's no way that I could sit back and watch the woman that bear my children go through something like that, and I'm supposed to be the man and the father of those children? No. There's no way.
No, but what I've
There's
learned...
There's no way, and I just feel like I had to say that, so now I got it off my chest. Now, let's go on.
This is what I learned from my experience, based on what was just said. And I understand what you're saying. Being a man, it seems like a man would appreciate what a woman
right.
has to bring to the table. But what I have learned from my experience is that I have learned to have compassion, not feeling sorry, but having compassion
right.
for my ex, because I feel like he didn't know any better. He didn't know how. And I'm not making excuses, but I believe that he did the best that he could. And hopefully, after all of these years of us being apart, I mean, in my situation, he realizes what he did. I mean, we're way past the place of a return or a reunion. But I want my life to be an example. So that kind of helped me heal, you know, it helped me heal the perceived hurt I felt at the time. Because I thought, oh, he hurt me, he doesn't appreciate me. But when I could let that go and realize that he didn't love me like I needed because
right.
I didn't know how to, that helped me heal. And let me be an example and not hold that anger or that bitterness. But I just want to add that in.
Now, Shamika, with you saying that, let me ask you this. When you're looking back right now, okay, mm-hmm. have you noticed that now that you have come to this point with yourself, if you look back, did you find that you back then sort of just it was all about everybody else but you?
Oh, absolutely. I sacrificed, literally, who I was to be there for him. And I was very young. So, I like I said, I never went through the wild party phase or anything like that. I practically jumped out of high school into a relationship, long-term, like you, marriage.
Right.
And I never got a chance to really express, well, I never was wild anyway after that, but I'm just saying, I never got a chance to express what I was. So my whole life was a sacrifice for him. So even things that I really didn't want to do or things that I didn't want to participate in, I was there for him. I didn't have a clue as to what my true dream and vision was. So that's what led up to my awakening in terms of, you know, just sitting on our back bed thinking, what do I want? You know, who am I? You know, what is my passion? What are my dreams? And not that I was excluding him, because I wanted him to be a part of my life, but I realized that me being me, and I think that me being young was a large factor in it.
Right.
But me being who I am, I knew I couldn't change him. Somehow I knew. No matter how much I cried or fussed or, you know, whatever, I knew that I had to make a decision that was going to be hard. And when I left him, I was 25. So I was thinking, I'm young. I have three kids at the time. So I had twins, and I had I'm an older son. And,
wow.
And I never wanted to be considered a single mom. I just thought that was just like the most horrific thing ever.
And, you know, sometimes that holds you back, too, based on, like, I think a lot of it with me was I didn't want to fail again. I didn't want to walk out and say that it failed again or something happened. And I kept trying to see the good days or the things that were good that got us together in the first place, not realizing that that wasn't there. But, you know, let's talk about the people who do have a good relationship, and it's not about them scheming or trying to take away. It's just the fact that maybe they just don't understand. Maybe it is all about people get into this routine. Some people come from old school parents that, you know, I've heard so many older women, oh wow, like my grandmother's days, where pretty much they were taught to know what they know in a corner and let the man run the show. You need to learn how to keep your man happy. You need to learn how to cook and clean and have them babies and do this. Like, that was their ultimate goal in life. And then you needed to know how to just be a great companion and sit down. And I didn't want to just be like a person that grew old and, you know, you guys like Edith and Archie Bunker, that they had, you know, their own little chairs, and at the end of the day they just walked and did the bridge club and they came back and Archie smoked the cigars and Edith watched him and didn't know anything. So I didn't want that for me. I didn't want that for me, so I'm always reinventing myself. I think I'm going to be one of them 80-year-old ladies that was always playing pranks. Because I'm constantly laughing and joking, and I like to see like a happy thing in life all the time. I'm going to be a prankster at 95 with a wheelchair and, you know, a rope leg. That's going to be me, you know. And But I also know that I want to look back and go, what did I leave behind? What did I do with myself? I find myself now that I realize when everybody keeps asking me, what would you like? What do you want for yourself? Besides, of course, my business dreams, I realize that because I've been a mom for so long, sometimes I just want time to be able to say I feel like doing nothing, or I want to go to the club and just have a day. Or, you know, I want the choice to say I can't.
My sister takes my children every weekend now so that I can focus on the show and I can, you know, take a breather from doing my 9-to-5 and doing everything, because she said for the first time in your life, the things you've been dreaming of all your life is finally happening. So she takes my children, all six of them, every single weekend, so that I can just relax and do whatever. I remember all week I go, I can't wait for you guys to go find a club or do something. And I swear when they leave, I'm like, wait a minute, the house is clean? The dishes are put away? What the hell do I do with all this free time? You know? But in the same token, I like that because I've never had the choice of saying, I think I'll just stay home today. You know, so that was it. I like that. I never had that before. And at the same token, my best ideas come from me being able to just sit there and go, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, the AC just blew the curtain a certain way. I just figured out a whole story from that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand.
Oh, can
really
I tell you something?
I'm a writer.
You're a writer
yeah.
as well, Tamika?
Yes, I'm a writer. I've written over 100 poems, and I've been published. I found that the way I started was as a stress relieving factor. So I kind of that night decided that, you know, my life is going to change. Is when I started writing, and that was over 10 years ago. So when I started writing, it just went on, and it was a stress relief. And then I realized that I had a passion for it. So I continued on, and so all I'm saying is that when we decide that we're going to be free, not necessarily free from a relationship, I want
right.
to rewind and go back to the point of the partnership and being with someone that you love. Because at that point in time, no matter who he is, you loved him. I loved my ex. However, I didn't really know what love is, because true love entails that not only do I love my partner, but I love myself. And that
right.
my partner also loves himself enough to respect who I am as well as me respecting who he is. So getting into the situation that we were involved in, what happens is sometimes we don't love ourselves and we try to find that complete feeling with the opposite sex, or either we love ourselves and we think we have to sacrifice ourselves in some way to have that companionship, when in reality it's going to take both partners truly loving themselves enough to be able or have the ability to love another. So, I mean, I think that's what was missing in my situation. So no matter how much I felt I loved him, and no matter how much I loved my kids even, because in the I understand and I respect highly people who say, you know, I'm going to stay in this relationship and we're going to make it work for our kids. But let me tell you, being a woman that grew up in a household with a mom and a stepdad, and also my mom and dad, kids know when there's not love in the household. I think that influenced
right.
my decision in life. So no matter how we look to people experience, you know, outside of our household, I knew the truth, and even though I was a kid and innocent. So I think that that factor stuck with me. And it influenced my decision in terms of leaving the relationship. So all I'm saying is that in a relationship, I think that if both partners, if they love each other, we're going to work it out. Exterior circumstances, there are going to be conflicts that come up. Nothing is perfect. But if we don't have that base, that love of ourselves and for each other, I think that it sometimes can do more damage than good. Just try to make it work. So, yeah.
Michael Jackson was one of the biggest celebrities or faces known to the world. This man was magical on stage. This man was a brilliant writer, a brilliant business person, definitely a magical performer. But Michael had internal issues, so the world became his validation. The fans screaming was great for him. Problem was, he didn't have self-validation. He didn't have self-love. And the problem with that is, no matter how many people, he had millions and millions and millions of people. He became a one-word name brand to people. All you got to do is say, yeah, nobody sings like Michael. Nobody's going to think it's Michael Moore or Michael Morgan. They know exactly which Michael you're talking about. He achieved that status, but this man was unhappy. So he started to buy companions, and he bought children. I don't care what anybody tells me. That's not his natural kids. Okay?
Yeah.
But he had to buy all these things because his money could afford him that. But the thing was, he never had real validation, real support, real companionship, because he didn't love himself. He couldn't get past his father calling him a big-nosed, pimple-faced person. He couldn't get past the people who are supposed to give you that foundational support and encouragement, what they said to you, the abuse that you suffered. Those are the type of things that if you don't love yourself as an individual, no one is going to be able to be allow you to accept love that way or get that team player thing. You have to be an established individual. Someone had to teach me that as a mother, that it's okay for me to say, no, 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 mommy needs a coffee break. Go over there 1 minute. I'll be right with you. No, today you're going to be at grandma's house because I'm going out today. Okay? Now, I'm not saying go hit the club every weekend, young mothers. Okay? Me time is not all the time when you're a parent. Me time is an established time where you say to yourself, I've done this all week. I've done this all day. For this moment, I want this. I used to make sure that my children were in their bed on time for their bedtime because from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. was my study time for school. From 8 to 11, if I wasn't sleeping, I got to watch my morning show before I had to hit class. But that was my time. My time not to worry about responsibilities or the children or anything because it was for me, however which way I chose to do it. Now, in a relationship when you have goals and dreams to do something and you gave up doing it at the time frame that you originally had before the children came along, when you and your mate met right after high school or right after college, all right, well, life hit. Now you have the diapers. You can't just go in
that
and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right, life hits. So now what do? Do you kill your dreams and yourself because now there's a curveball? No, you have to work. Okay, normally you could drive down Main Street and get right to where you have to go in 30 minutes. Life hit. Now you got to figure out how to go around the detour and go around the back and still wind up at the same destination just a little bit longer, a little bit later. Either you got to leave a little earlier or you're going to arrive a little later. So you have to figure out a way to make that happen. Now, when you're in a relationship and you got children, you can't write as freely and as long as you used to. So your partner should be able to say, all right, listen, kids, I'm going to take you for ice cream. Let your mother write for about, give you about 2 hours. And then you have to also come to a compromise and say, I've been writing for 2 hours. If you need a little more time, tell your man or your woman, look, baby, I'll be right out there. And I promise you, I'll give it back to you. Just let me get this last idea in. I know as a writer that's important. You got to get it while it's hot.
That is so important. Respecting, like, I'm not a big sports person. So, but that's okay. Because, I mean, I can respect my significant other and his sports interests. And it just reflects on what you just said, Katie. You know, I like to write. I like to read. I'm kind of nerdy, honestly. But I can respect, because when we come together, we have love. And that's what's important. If we don't have that love, then those differences are going to be very hard to overcome, you know. So.
Right. Right. And it is a compatibility and support issue. And it is a thing where you have to stand your ground on maintaining your individuality, because you can't be a good team player if you're not a established individual. Let me go over to you, Al-Tariq. What do you think with regards to you spoke about, If you're not together, you know, it's not going to work. So if you are with somebody and the relationship is worth saving or it's a good thing, do you believe there should be a point in time where I have this dream? I take care of my wife. I take care of my family. I take care of my children. My house bills are paid. I want to do this.
Yes,
do you
of course.
Think that
of course, because we all going to have individual things that we like, you know, whether if it's a hobby, you know, or if it's like how you said, if it's a goal that you want to pursue. You know, it could have been something that you put even in the background for your kids or for the situation that you had going on with your man. You know, sometimes you have to put things back based on you being by yourself.
Right.
Yeah. When you look at the story of Superman, right, he even had the Fortress of Solitude It was time where he had to leave the people. He's always had to save everybody, but it was time that he had to go off to himself to do what? To think and refocus, re-energize, so he can come back and handle the rest of the task and be better for himself and for others.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just that, like I was saying earlier, you just basically, you got to find that balance because that's what it's about. And when I read, you know, things about life and about great people and stuff like that, they always had times where they were in deep thought and they went and they prayed, they meditated to they self, and it was able to, you know, they practiced whatever they wanted, you know, at times to they self. You look at Michael Jordan, you know, for example. He spent many time practicing his jump shot and stuff like that on his own. So he perfected his craft. He wasn't always playing as a team all the time. His greatest works were when he was by himself, imagining how to shoot over the next opponent or get around him or however, you know, fade away jumpers and all that. And that helped him to learn how to, you know, be perfect at what he wanted and to get what he wanted, get the best out of what he wanted. But all of that comes from having that core of you can't overextend yourself.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Overextend yourself, even in sports, you can hurt yourself. You know?
Malcolm X did the same. Malcolm X went to India to meditate over all that was going on with him. And he came back bigger, better, more informed, more educated, more objective with certain things. I know that later on it got him killed, of course. But he stood up there and he was able to go away and get out of the heat of the situation and see it from the outside of the fire. Pretty much. It is that. It's not just the writer that needs to go off and think. It's people. It's people. It's more. You are more than your role.
Right.
You're more than the role you play in life. You're more than the routine you pick up. You're more than that placemat in the milestones of life. And that's just the thing that we tend to forget. We tend to put our heart for the people that we are with above what the foundational and fundamental basics need to be. And I'm saying that because I'm one of the biggest infractors of that.
Yes.
And a lot of times you do it to your own detriment.
Yes.
You were saying, Shanika?
It's about
absolutely.
Freedom. You have to be free in order to have, you have to raise the freedom in order to fully express yourself. If you, if somebody have you trapped in a box where you can't do what you want to do, that's not freedom.
Absolutely.
No.
There
no.
is a certain amount of freedom that has to come in order for it to be a free thing. Rod, you're kind of quiet in the corner, so start tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
Rod?
Hello?
Rod, are you still with us? All right. Well, Shamika, you were about to say something, honey. What was that?
No, you all hit some very good points. I mean, being still is so important because you have to become centered. And centered is just being still and knowing what you are, being able to appreciate and being thankful for for your surroundings. It's so easy to get caught up in a dream or caught up in what the future may hold or what's the next big conquest or thing I'm going to conquer, you know. But it takes the truth is a peace and stability, especially in relationships and relating with a partner, is just being able to be still. And when you really sincerely appreciate someone that you're with, and they appreciate you as well, but it's not about receiving. I think the true gift also is in just giving. Because when you give, that sense of peace and that sense of stability, it grasps hold of you. It makes you alive. It makes you realize how blessed you truly are. And I think that sometimes we forget it, and a lot of times we forget it is because we live in the past or the future instead of appreciating exactly where we are and the people that surround us. So you all made some good points. I really felt it. So. Yeah.
There's nothing more strong, more sexy, more powerful. After God, of course, that's my belief. I believe in God big time, but after God, there is nothing more powerful, more impenetrable okay, more uplifting than having that partner in your life say to you, you know what, you're a brilliant writer. I don't know a damn thing about writing, but you are a brilliant writer. Get out there and go write. Go do something. Whatever it is you need. You know, that person that says she's a writer, but she only has an old typewriter. Let me go get her a computer. Well, here, babe, here's your laptop, so when you're out, you can go do this or do that. Or even if we can't afford that, you know what? I bought you a notebook and a pen. I'm going to take the kids out. You go ahead and get yourself together. Think it through. You're going to be free for a while. There's nothing more great than a person who doesn't understand anything you're getting an award for, but sees the excitement in your eyes about it and is willing to be just as excited just to stand down there and cheer for you when you're accepting it.
Right.
And I think that's the whole entire situation, because that allows you to be an individual still appreciative of being the role player in the relationship.
Being truly interested in what your partner does. Because what we fail to realize is sometimes the things that we don't understand or initially don't think that are meaningful to us, it's interesting how people can open your eyes, or someone that you love can open your eyes to another aspect that you never thought of. So that goes along with what I always feel. We're always learning. We're always growing. And like you said, sometimes, you know, yeah, you might not be interested in writing. You might not be reading big books. But, hey, there might be some principle, something that we can share together. And not, you know, just remembering that factor. It's so important in relationships, you know.
Right. And between my ex and I, see, you know, that I used to get so upset with him because he's a brilliant businessman. He's a brilliant businessman, but you can't be a brilliant businessman and not be willing to take a risk in certain things. He was perfectly happy being brilliant for someone else's company. And what got me was, you know, I used to sit there and go, oh, my God, you just gave these people, the one with all the money and all the corporate connections, you just made their hole-in-the-wall location become one of their biggest moneymakers in their chain. Because we thought people, and you know what? He had me as a secret weapon. Because I think past what you see. And so I could, you know, I have a joke that my family says, I'm the person that could take a rock, a boiling pot of water, and make a rock soup gourmet meal. So it's like, that's me. Now, when he had an issue with buying a house in the beginning because all he thought about was all of the if factors. And I was like, are you kidding me? We're living in a one-bedroom apartment. We're paying $1,100 a month for just rent. We have to pay our own heat, our own hot water, our own everything. So why not, for the same amount of money, pay a mortgage?
Yeah,
you know,
that's a house note. Come on.
Right, and own it. It wasn't like it was an apartment rent where, you know, utilities were included. We were literally paying for our own hot water, too. That's what you do in a house. And that's it. We have one bedroom in a building. Okay, why not take that and own a house where after you finish paying off, you'll own the damn thing. Plus, you get refinancing and second mortgages and, you know, things like that. Well, we argued about that because I'm the one that, you know, oh, you're just a damn dreamer. You just want to walk around and tell people that you own a house. You want to do this. I say, yeah, all that, yada, yada. But we have a growing family. We're still in a one-bedroom apartment paying a damn mortgage, and we only renting the place. Okay? So eventually, when we got there, but you know what I did? I stopped there. I became a real estate agent so I could learn the ins and outs of home ownership.
Yes.
And how it worked. That way, everything he was skeptical about, I had to answer to from the horse's mouth. I understood banking things. I understood what it meant. That's what my support to him was.
Yeah. It's too in this life we live, especially for like people of color, it's too many sheep and not enough shepherds.
Absolutely, Al Tariq. Wow, what a powerful statement.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, we have to be leaders. We have to be leaders, innovators.
Now the absolute truth is this: when two people get together, they're already coming in being somewhat opposites. Yes, you have a lot of common things that brought you together. You both like the same type of movies. You might like the same type of music. You might have outlook on the same thing. But usually, there's something he can do better than you, something you can do better than him. You understand? There's a difference, a different way you can approach something that might have come out with a more yielding or productive result. You know, and if you guys can both allow each other to be the best in what your unique thing is without feeling threatened or trying to stop it, it could never go wrong.
Yeah. People need to re-examine what helpmate or helpmate is. Help me to help is because you meet that person with help and responsibilities. So if you understand that being together is about being that person's helpmate, you meeting them with help. I need for you to help me with confidence. I need for you to console me. That's help. Every way you love, when you love someone, you're meeting them with that. That's a full circle right there.
Correct.
You know, a lot of times we want to do half. We want to do half of circles. We don't want to do the whole circle.
Yeah.
No.
Want to do a half baked cake and expect to get excellence. It's not gonna work.
Yeah. It's like I gave. Now what are you gonna give back? No. We're meeting halfway. We're two whole people coming together, and we want to build something greater together.
Right.
And that.
Right.
Absolutely. There is a 50-50 in it. There's also certain things where you need to understand that some things you're not able to do. There are some things that your partner is better at. Support him in it or support her in it. Like my ex was better at doing numbers in his head off the bat. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm great with fractions. I'm great with percentages in my head. I can add and subtract and multiply and divide. But I wasn't into calculus and, you know, trigonometry and things that effect. I never understood what the hell I would ever need to know those formulas for. I wasn't trying to be a NASA rocket scientist. As long as I understood percentages and interest and what my tax bracket was and what you know, my change should be and what I should make based on the hours I work, what the hell did I need to know what X over pi times ABC squared meant?
That's funny.
I didn't need to understand.
The basis will get you through.
I didn't need to learn any of that.
Katie, I'm on the opposite.
So how much those... Some of those little things can matter so much and can help you out in the long run.
Well, he was a mess with, so anytime any of the kids came home with calculus homework or something, I'd go to your father because I didn't understand it and I wasn't trying to lead them to an F.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You were starting to see Jamaica.
Yeah. It's balance. I mean, I was just going to point out that you and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum there because I am a numbers person. I just love numbers. But I find that I recently took a class, you know, for work with some engineering, logic in the class, and it's totally foreign to me because it's not really related to what I do. And I found it very interesting. So it just goes back to balancing, because where we're strong, then our partners, where we're weak, our partners may be strong and vice versa. It's just a blending, not necessarily in the same direction, but a blending in intention, a blending in love and focus and goals.
All right. In the beginning, that's what God had in mind when he gave Adam that help, when he gave Adam Eve. That was that help. It was supposed to be there to help him. She was not meant to be behind him. She was not meant to be in front of him, but by his side. You know, so, and with all that being said, it's a lot that today's society is getting away from, and if they're into reading their Bible and get to read stuff like that, and understand that the way they are treating the women today is not the way it's supposed to be. That is your help. Like I said, not on the front, not on the back, not on the side. I mean, but right at your side, right at your side. You know, that should be your second right hand. You know, so
Forgot about Lewis though.
Forgot about who?
Lois forgot about Lewis. That was the woman before Eve. That was his mistake.
Oh, okay.
we had to throw her away, so everybody forgets her. So that's all right.
You brought up a very important point, Al-Tariq, and I wanted to bring that up, where you said, You know that sometimes you don't need a person to do something physical to support you. Sometimes you just need that person to understand that you had a hard day. You know, or there are plenty of wives that don't understand. Like, you know, if you want to think about the June Cleaver days, you know, when the average person came home, the husband came home with a briefcase and a stressed look on his face, she didn't know a damn thing about corporate stuff. All she knew was that her husband had a bad look on his face and her cookies didn't burn. You know, so that's one of the things. And she was just there to go, you had a bad day, dear. Well, I'll go get you, you know, your pipe and your slippers and, you know, the white picket fence thing. Well, nowadays, we do know more. Women are a lot more active in these things. So there are times where even if you don't understand P&L reports or corporate accounting problems, your man is upset. Your woman is upset. And you know what? This is a way that you can actually get into understanding it. Shamika, you brought up that people sometimes may not understand it. We both did. We spoke about they don't understand writing or whatever. Here's what you do. Okay, so those of you that start to feel like you're drifting away because your partner wants to do something and you don't understand, what's the big whoop? Okay, oh, someone wants to come in. Just 1 second, call. I'll bring you right in. When you're spouse, significant other comes home, stressed out, and you ask what happened, and they tell you something that sounds like they're speaking German to a French person. Ask them what that means. For example, if I come home and I say, today, when I put out these numbers and I set everything up so that this group can get their reports in so that they can have the production on time and this can happen. Ask the person, well, what is wrong? Like, they didn't get this on time. Why? What does that do? What does it mean? I can guarantee you that your spouse will sit there and go, in order for us to be able to move the product along, you need to have these reports put into this place by a certain time so that the team can access it, because if they can't access it there, then the rest of the team can't move. I can guarantee you just learned 3 details about your mate's work that you didn't know before. And you might even become interested.
Yeah, and not just that, you're showing support, and that helps ease the pressure off of your mate also, because you know he's coming home feeling some kind of way or she's coming home feeling some kind of way, and you don't know what they had to deal with on that day. So when you're showing interest in what they have been through on that day, that helps quite a bit.
Right, and now they're also teaching you, you're not any part of their company. Caller, I see you there, I'm going to bring you right in. You're not any part of their company, so now little by little, you're going to start getting inside details to your mate's work, and now they're going to start feeling they have somebody that's outside of work that might be able to understand on a first-hand basis what's going on.
Right.
My ex had the privilege of having dated one of his assistant managers, which was myself, so I knew his business firsthand because I worked it. Okay, now when he came home and he said, you know, the waste was too much today and the numbers were not good, I understood exactly what he meant. It wasn't, you know, fish talk to me. I understood it. So I could go, well, wait a minute. Didn't this person take the cases out of X, Y? So he can talk to me, comprehensively. Now, if I was a wife who didn't understand a damn thing about the inside of inventory, I could ask him, well, what does that mean? What are the P&L reports? Oh, so that's what tells your boss how much you made today and how much you're supposed to have? Yes. So wait a minute. So how does that get messed up? Oh, so that's why you're upset. You understand? So these are little things that both of you can come closer to with each other. For example, us writers, if we could explain to our significant others, listen, the whole middle chapter of my manuscript was erased in the computer. Now I have to figure out how to tie this up because I don't have any backups to figure out where this goes. And now that's going to stop my deadline, which my publisher needs to put on the air.
Right.
Oh, I get it. You understand? Let's bring in our new panelists because we have about 18 minutes left. Wait 1 second.
Well, we could say
welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
So, sis, that. And
okay.
We could go with the garden with us.
Tomato.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air?
Tomato juice in there.
Tomato juice is good.
Okay.
Hello?
I guess they don't realize they press one, but I don't think they know they're on the air.
Was that Latin or something? You can't say the last piece?
Well, what I will say is you have to be able to maintain your individuality in order for you to have a productive relationship. You cannot just give yourself up. You cannot give yourself up and just say, you know what, to hell with it. I'm just a father, I'm just a mother, I'm just the wife. Forget it, let them have it, let them do it. No, you can't. Because you're going to have a burning desire to do something that you feel you should have, or you are ready to try again. We're ready to try again. Okay? And maybe it's about that time. You've done for everybody else. Now you want to do a little something for you. And your partner should be able. Let me try to bring our panelists in one more time. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air? All right. Well, I have to take a sponsor break, ladies and gentlemen. I will be back in just a couple of minutes. Please bear with me, and I want to thank all of you for your wonderful input. And for those of you that are out there listening, thank you for sticking in with us, even through the technical difficulties. I appreciate it very much. All right, so I'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
All right.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. We are having an intriguing panelist discussion this evening with a bunch of very, very, very smart and insightful people. And we are speaking on how do we maintain our individuality while playing for the relationship team. So we're trying to be a team player. We're a mother. We're a father. We're a wife. We're a husband. We're a significant other. We're a living lover. We are doing what we have to do. Life has hit us. We're not the free in the wind college preppy people that can run off and just do anything at any point anymore. We want to have a dream. We want to do something that's about us. How do we get to do it? Now, I was accessing a couple of articles that was answering this question. So one couple was speaking about how we tend to speak and think in a collective manner when we get involved in relationships. We no longer talk about preferences from a his and her type of situation. We speak more of a we don't like white furniture, or we don't like to go out, or we prefer to have our life a secret way, for example. Now, that becomes something like a codependency. You know, well, whatever you like, dear, I like. Whatever you don't like, okay, fine. Whether you agree or you disagree. I would love to be in a position where I have a partner that can have some live and healthy debates with me, that can sit there and say, I don't think we should do it that way because I see this. Or, you know what, I don't know, honey. I think maybe we should try it this way. I think we should be able to say a yes or a no, and then come to an agreement with it. I think that we should be able to say, I really want to try this. I understand that you're skeptical, but I've thought of every which way to keep it a safety, foolproof way, as best as I can. But we both said one day we would try this. Why not try it now? Mm-hmm. Or your dad likes sports. Leave your dad alone. He works hard all week. Or your mom works hard all day. This is something she wants to do for herself. Let's go do something else. Give her an hour. Respect that space. Yeah. Those are the type of things that we can give, you know, different aspects, something that's not just a part of the collective, where we start going, my God, I just want to do something different. I hate this. You know what? I used to support you. We always talked about this. You were fine with me being a musician then. Now what happened? Now it's about me. Now I'm not with you anymore. Now I don't pay attention to you enough. Didn't we just go to the movies? Didn't we just make love? Didn't we just sit together? Didn't we just do whatever? And now because I want to do this for this 1 hour, that's too much. Every day I wake up, I have to, I'm not rich by any means. I've got goals. Every day I have to get up. And there are times where I tell you it's painful. When I'm finally, after the end of a hard work week in a big, long stadium filled with fans that could just come in and drop $1,000 down on a VIP suite package to see the Knicks in action, and I'm working hard and I'm doing whatever, and I finally get to payday, and before I could even cash my check, I've already spent it on something the kids need. I've already spent it on a bill. Before I can physically see the dollars and cents in my hand. And there are days where I'm like, you know what? I needed to get this for this, or I needed to buy, you know, the startup equipment for this, or I needed to get this. Oh, boy, it's got to wait till next week again. There are days where that starts to happen. Now, imagine, even though I'm still going to do it because this is a bigger thing, and eventually all this hard work is going to pay off. Imagine having a partner in your life that knew all about this dream you had, but because now it's too impractical for that person. You're stupid for doing it. It's a dream. You mean you need to come down and face reality.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's very key what you said, Katie, because I believe that in partnership we have to believe in each other's dreams. And it might sound so utopia and far-fetched, but the reality is that the only way that we're going to make it work is if we have to believe in each other, no matter how different those dreams may be. That was something I hadn't thought of up until now, but that's certainly true, I mean, for the long term, you know? So.
Absolutely. And you know what? Sometimes in a relationship, when you believe in each other, you've got to do it on a faithful standpoint. You know how God says we have to have the faith the size of a mustard seed and believe that He's almighty and could do the rest, even when you don't see it happening in your time frame or in your logic. You have to believe. And sometimes you just have to believe in what you know of your partner. Now, I have a sister who acts more like a significant other, who tells me every day, all right, well, so what? You know what? You didn't get that deal. You know you're going to go out there and get it again. Girl, you were born to do this. Girl, do you realize you got 15,386 people and you haven't been on the air a year yet? You went from having 138 people who listened to your first week with 1,608. You honestly think that that's because you don't know what you're doing?
Right.
She's like, your listeners are relating to the passion you have for what you're speaking about.
Right.
Now, that's what your partner needs to be telling you, because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how tough you think you are. There's nothing like having that type of support come from that special other person in your life. Your mother could be your biggest cheerleader, your brother, your best friend, but all of that is great, but there's nothing like that special significant other doing the same thing.
So rewinding, when we decide that we're going to commit to someone or commit to a relationship, we have to be sure that we really do believe in the dream that our partner has.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because, once you get into it, then it's a battle. But I was just thinking in terms of a recent relationship I, you know, was involved in, and I'm pretty conservative when it comes to money management, but this particular man, he invests in properties, and he's very conservative, very reserved. I mean, to the point of no cable, you know, no high debts. So I got to pay everything off. You know, just very more reserved than I would be. And, you know, he was like, you know, Shanika, if we get together, you know, one thing, we have to pay your student loans off. That means that we're going to have to sacrifice. So you're going to have to make sure that, you know, you make these you know, we pay this debt off in 2 years, max. You know? And I was like, whoa,
right,
so how much of an allowance am I going to have? Oh, $300 a month now. Come on. Like, really? But, I mean, I'm just saying that as an example in terms of, okay, so if I really love this man, am I really going to believe in his vision? Because I think that there's multiple ways of meeting that success. But in order for us not to have issues later on, then I'm going to have to say, you know, yes, I believe in this dream, and we're going to do this together. Because if I'm not on board from the beginning, then we're going to have issues down the road. So that's a really good point. No matter how much you feel like you love someone, you really have to assess, you know, is this person's vision in line with my vision, you know, for myself?
Absolutely. And there was something that my grandmother used to tell me when I was about 11 or 12, but I didn't understand a damn thing that she meant. But she used to say, no matter how much you love a person, always have a backup individual plan. Always do something for yourself. When he wants to go out there, even when you're supporting him, if he wants to go and play sports with his friends, you go and you read a book with your girlfriends. If he wants to go and become a business investor and put money down on, let's say, shoes for today, go invest in a dress for yourself. I never understood that. Until the day that, you know, but after investing all of this into a partner that wasn't thinking like a partner, okay, when that person took everything that was done and walked away and left me with the debris of an exploded house, okay, and left to pick up the pieces, I understood it then. We're down to our last 6 minutes, so I want to thank all of you very much for being there, for coming in tonight. You all had such intriguing contributions. It's been a very, very, very vibrant conversation. Shamika, I want to thank you very much because
I usually
try to pull you in and you usually will say something and duck out. I want to thank you. You've been very open and your sharing your experience was very contributory tonight, so I appreciate that.
Yes.
Al Tariq, love when you come on, dude. You know, I'll see you all over the boards. Rod, who's busy zizzing back there. And Deacon, of course, you always.
I'm
you
awake.
Know that. You are awake. I saw the little emoticon coming up from your caller panel. Cut it out. You're in the corner. But I thank you, too. You're a constant pillar of support as well. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are in a relationship, you come in as one and then one makes two. One and one makes two. It does not mean that if being one does not mean you're a robot. Or you're a Siamese brain twin. It means that both of you are coming together with what you uniquely bring to the table and become a team together using the individual parts like a car where one can't do without the other. There comes a point in time where each of you are going to do something that the other knows you are good at but will get skeptical and afraid that it's going to take away from what you have. Suck it up and give that person the respect of being an individual, and as well as to yourself, because no amount of outside love, praise, worship is going to validate you if you're not validated in your own mind. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Join us back here tomorrow. Don't know yet what the topic is going to be, but by 4 o'clock, you guys will know. And I want to thank every one of you for being in here tonight. So God bless you all. Thank you very much to the Real World Black News and Discussions Group, to the Black Love and Conversations Group, to all of my Facebook contributors, Catherine Charlotte, Dolores Milliken, Barry Mason, Deacon Zeddy Williams, because you're always all over the boards and behind and on the scenes as well.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rod, for always having your say on the sides as well. Lady Diamond, feel better. Lady Diamond, feel better. And I do have exactly one more minute to say this. Shamika, if you have poems, we have a new writer showcase that starts off our Tuesday segment every week. Kindly inbox me after the show so I can get a couple of samples and we can include you tomorrow night. Lady Diamond, feel better. And happy birthday,
yeah,
belated
feel
birthday.
Better. All happy right, happy birthday, Lady D.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's awesome out there. I want to thank all of our entrepreneurs and artists that have been contributing to expanding our market pages. And once again, to all of my listeners out there who keep coming in via archive and now live listens, thank you all very much. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Back at you.
Okay.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.